Happy Easter to all of you. We are so glad that you are here today on the Lord's Day as we remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after His work on the cross of Calvary. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture in Mark chapter 16 that tells us of one who came to the tomb. She was one of the last ones to come to the cross area. We learn in chapter 15 and verse 40, there were also women looking afar off, and they were watching what was taking place to the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. But in verse 9 of chapter 16, we read, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene." She was one that stood with Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, at a far distance away from Calvary on that day. But she was the first one there on the morning of His resurrection. And the question that comes about is why? And the Bible tells us. It's interesting, the last part of verse 9, "out of whom He had cast seven devils." Mary Magdalene owed her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that she would have died with these seven devils imprisoned in her body. We don't know all of her story, but we do know this, that the Lord in His gracious mercy had reached out to her and delivered her. She was one of the women that received the power of Jesus Christ in her life to remove those devils. And so as she stood there watching her Lord die, she wanted to be there that morning to pay her respects to the Lord. She did not at that time grasp fully what had happened to the Lord. She did remember. Matter of fact, the women were the first ones to remember what the Lord said as the angels reminded them. But here was Mary Magdalene, last at the cross, earliest to His tomb. She owed the Lord Jesus Christ everything. And I couldn't help but think that we owe everything to Jesus Christ too. Now, I don't have the testimony that I was indwelt with seven devils, and that certainly was a horrible thing, and that Jesus in His mercy delivered her from that. But the Lord Jesus Christ delivered me from sin. He delivered me from an eternity in a devil's hell that was created for the devil and his host and for all those who would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me, and therefore, I owe Him how much? Everything. Everything. Mary Magdalene was not afraid to be there at Golgotha's hill. She was not afraid to go early to the tomb because she owed the Lord Jesus Christ everything. On this Easter morning, I wonder if that thought crosses your mind. I owe the Lord Jesus Christ everything. Because of His atoning work on Calvary for me, because of His resurrection from the dead for me, His ascension to heaven where He sits at the right hand of the Father, He's not a high priest who stands. That's what all the Old Testament priests did. They stood to labor all day long. And yet Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. The least is that I owe Him everything. On this Easter Sunday morning, I pray that you would examine your heart and your mind, how you think. Do I live in such a way that indicates that I owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do I just live life for myself, just doing my own thing and just putting in the time card and doing this, that, and the other? Is there a dominant theme in your life? I owe everything to Jesus Christ because He died for me and rose again for the dead for me. Mary Magdalene did. She had been delivered and she wanted to be there to honor her Lord. She brought spices. She wanted to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ was honored in His death. But when she got there, He wasn't there. And she remembered what He said. And she rejoiced in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray this morning as we gather around the Word of God on this Easter Sunday, that we might realize that Jesus Christ is more than a good man, a good teacher, but that He is Lord of all, and He is the Savior of sinners, and you owe Him everything.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 131 this morning. Number 131, Jesus Paid It All, number 131. We'll stand together to sing. Standing for prayer this morning as our pastor comes to lead us.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning. We are thankful for this day in which we remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who came to this earth in obedience to Thee, Your eternal Son, to die on Calvary's tree, to shed His precious blood, that we might have cleansing from sin, deliverance from sin, paying in His body the price, the wages of sin for us. For He was guiltless. He was perfect. He had no sin in Him. And He bore our sin in His body, and then on the third day rose bodily from the tomb in victory. Oh Lord, we are so thankful this morning for the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, a victory that has consequences to this very minute. A victory of deliverance from sin. A victory that the power that was demonstrated is the power that we live our Christian life by, and by which we will live all eternity. All the wonderful blessings that await us are based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for that great love that You had for us in sending Your Son. And we pray, dear Lord, that we might return that love by living for Thee. That we might return that love by recognizing and owning the truth that we owe You everything. There is nothing that we do not owe Thee. I pray that You would deliver us from a worldly mindset that seeks to get as much out of this world as we can, selfishly living for ourselves, doing for ourselves, thinking about ourselves all the time, with very little recognition of the claims that You have upon us. because of your cross work. Not only by right of creation, but because of the cross, the deliverance that was made for lost sinners. Father, we pray today that our hearts and minds might be knit with Thee, that we might be thankful, that we might realize and recognize all that You did for us through Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that You would be with our faithful missionaries that are serving Thee around the globe. Some of them are serving in very difficult places, ministering the gospel every day, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for them today that You would strengthen and encourage them, meet their needs, provide for them. And we pray, dear Lord, that You would encourage them along the way, that You might, through them, reach souls for Thee, to draw precious souls unto Yourself. We pray, Father, that You would undertake for our missionary families today. We pray for one of our own today, for Fran Elkins, who is at Santa Rosa Medical Center. We pray for her, Lord, as she is facing several different things over this next week, surgeries. We pray, Father, that You would undertake for her. We pray that You would strengthen her soul and her spirit, that she might look to Thee, the great physician, the one who can heal. We just pray, Father, that You would strengthen and encourage her. Be with Richard as he is there and also is battling his own physical problems. We just pray for both of them, Father, that You would show Yourself powerful in their behalf. We pray, Father, for others of our church family who are going through some difficult times physically. We ask, Father, that You'd undertake for each one, that You'd strengthen and encourage them. We thank You, Father, for their presence here at Grace Bible Church and the ministry that many of them have, teaching roles and helping others and encouraging others. We thank You for that, Father, and we pray that You'd undertake for each one. We pray, dear Father, for our country. Lord, it seems like that the world is falling apart all around us. And the reason that it is because it is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for our country and for the men and women who serve in the armed forces that are seeking to defend our country from those who would do us harm. We pray, Father, for each one. We pray for those who train locally here at Whiting Field and at Pensacola, Eglin Field, and all the surrounding areas. We pray for each one as many of them are preparing for the potential of service abroad. We pray for them today. And we pray for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would be a witness and testimony to their fellow laborers and soldiers, airmen. We pray, Father, that we might hear of souls saved as a result of those who know the Lord being an active witness and testimony. We pray for those that are in harm's way today, especially those that are in the Syrian theater and also in the waters off of North Korea. We ask, Father, for Your protection for them. And we pray, Father, that this might come to some type of a solution that would not result in massive loss of life. We pray, Father, that You would be merciful in our behalf. And we pray that You would work in hearts, that people would turn to Thee. Now, Father, bless this service today. We pray that You would receive our singing and our praise, our adoration, for You alone are worthy. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated, please, as we continue to sing. Another resurrection hymn this morning, number 138. 138, Christ Arose.
Thank you.
turn now to number 143. Thine be the glory. We'll sing on just the first and last verses, number 143.
Oh, it is
Is it wonderful to you today? Our Lord came to die in our place on Calvary's tree. I can't think of anything more wonderful than that. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Luke this morning. Chapter 23 is where we're going to start, and we're going to read through, beginning at verse 50 of chapter 23, and then go through the first 12 verses of chapter 24 as we look at the narrative of our Lord's work on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection from the tomb. And then I'm going to hone in this morning specifically on one theme related to what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Verse 50 of Luke chapter 23, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein no man before was laid. And the day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and behold the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." By the way, that's the first time that you see those two names paired together in the Gospels right there. The Lord Jesus, post-resurrection. Very important. The Bible is so accurate in how things are timed. He was called the Lord Jesus after He rose from the tomb. "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8, and they remembered His words." The women were the first ones to remember. "And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them," the disciples, "as idle tales, and they believed them not." There's our theme this morning. "Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this blessed day. We thank You, Father, for the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would work in our hearts in such a way that we might realize what this means for us this morning. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the importance of exercising faith in the truth of the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that You'd work in our hearts today. We pray that You would deliver us from unbelief, and that You would work in our hearts that we might grasp a hold of the truth of Your Word, not to have just a mental assent to the truth of the Bible, but a heart grasp of the Word of God, whereby our lives are changed and we live according to the words that You have given to us in Your Word. That's the center and truth of belief, living according to the Word. We pray now Your blessings upon this message in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I had an interesting conversation yesterday, and we were talking, couple of us, and we were talking about, you know, how the gospel is not just something that's to be believed up in the head, but it's something that shows itself in a changed life within. There's no such thing as a Christian that's only one in their head. The gospel is a transforming truth that must be believed And when it is believed, it changes the whole life. It makes the whole life different from what it was before. This is the element and truth of the gospel that oftentimes gets trampled on. Chris and Brenda sent me a picture of a church sign over toward, I guess, Graydon Beach, and it was a church that said, "Come as you are." All right? Well, what does that mean, "come as you are"? The problem is some of them come as they are and they leave as they are. Because there's never been a confrontation of the soul with the truth of the gospel. I think it's important on this Easter Sunday that we realize that what Jesus Christ did was not to make your life better. It was to change your life forever. To make you into a new creature that will fit in heaven and be happy there. If we were to take you there as a lost sinner, you wouldn't be happy in heaven. You'd be the most miserable person that ever existed to be in the presence of God and to hear the angels singing the glorious truths of Jesus Christ and hearing the seraphim and the cherubim, "Holy, holy, holy," all day long. Sinner would not be happy there. But I want you to know something, Christian. There are some people that would have a problem with that here right now. They have a problem where it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," and it says it in the Word. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be like living on earth. We're going to get into that tonight in Luke chapter 20. We're going to talk about tonight what the resurrection means for you, for the future. There's going to be some big changes. And you need to live with those changes right now. Don't just think about them off in the future. "Well, that'll be there. Well, right now we got here." No. The truth of the future should affect your life right now and how you think and how you live. These disciples here, when the women came back, and they're named here in the book of Luke. I'm glad they did. So we can have an understanding. They came back and told the disciples everything that had happened. They had gone early in the morning, and when they got there, the tomb was empty, and there were two men that were there, and we were afraid. And they said, "Don't be afraid." And they reminded us of what Jesus said, and we remembered His words. And as they shared that with the disciples, the ones who had walked with Him for 3 years. Notice, please. And the word seemed to them, verse 11, as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, folks, that is extremely strong language. These men who had walked with Him. Now, I want to take on a journey very quickly here through the Scriptures that tell us here what Jesus Christ had said. I just jotted these down. There are several passages. John chapter 2, verses 18 through 19. Just listen. "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." John chapter 2, early part of the epistle. All right? What does He say? "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." That's early in His ministry. That's in the Galilean ministry. Matthew 16, 21. These are passages that we've been studying. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem." Told them what city. I mean, here they are in Jerusalem. And all these things are happening. And they're as idle tales, what Jesus said to them, that He must suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge, and to crucify Him, and the third day He shall rise again." Look at the detail that's given to the disciples of all the things that would happen. If they had been so specifically forewarned, and especially if they knew in advance that Jesus would rise from the dead, why were the disciples so confused and frightened during the drama of Easter week? Let me ask you something. Why are there so many quote-unquote Christians today that are befuddled about how to live in this world? God's told us in His Word about how we're to live, how we're to think, how we're to act. And yet, we are just like the disciples. It's easy for us to sit back and take pot shots at the disciples here and say, why, they should have known better. We should know better. We should know better. We should believe the Word of God. We should trust in the Word of God about how we're to make decisions in this world, how we are to live. Listen to John chapter 13, verses 7 and 19. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He. Referring to what's going to happen on the cross. John 2:22. When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He said this unto them, and they believed. Now this is important. And they believed the Scripture and the Word which Jesus had said. Now we get down to the nitty-gritty. They put two and two together, the Old Testament Scripture and what Jesus said, and it was after the resurrection that they what? Believed. We are living after the resurrection, are we not? Why don't we believe? Why don't we believe? I want to share some thoughts with you this morning about this matter. It's interesting to me that all four Gospels record the burial details of Jesus Christ after His death. The Gospels clearly demonstrate that Jesus was truly dead. And by the way, a vast majority of Americans believe that Jesus Christ died, but not the same amount believe that He rose from the tomb. Listen, the Gospel hangs on the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first five verses. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. You see both of them mentioned there, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your salvation, my salvation, is linked to the cross and to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The very first people to learn of the resurrection of Jesus were the women who had been faithful in following after Him. You know, these women were faithful people. They're named in the book of Luke. Joanna, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus Christ. They stood afar off while all of the activities of the crucifixion, gruesome as it was, they stood back in the back there watching what was happening. Mary with her son, Mary Magdalene with the Lord who had delivered her from seven devils. And it gets very dark around 3 o'clock. Darkness prevails. And then the cry, Eli, Eli, going forth, God, God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then in the midst of that darkness, the words, it is finished. Those women heard those words. They heard all seven sayings of the cross while they were there. So they were anxious after the Sabbath was over with, as they stayed at home thinking and gathering together the things that they would take the next morning. They go quickly because they want to do their best for the Lord Jesus. But He's not there. The angels ask them a question. I want to ask you this question this morning. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I want you to think for just a moment. I believe there are people that profess to be Christians that live as if Jesus Christ were dead. The decisions they make as if Jesus Christ is not someone we consult. Jesus is just someone we come to church and hear about on Sunday. But I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ is the one with whom we have to do. And we have a responsibility to go to our Lord Jesus Christ and to talk to Him and to seek His face and to want to know His will. But some people live as though He were dead. What a question the angels asked those women. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Remember ye His words? And then they relate the words that the Lord Jesus Christ said about His death, burial, and resurrection. And then in verse 8, the women remember what He said. They believed His words. What is belief? Simply put, belief is accepting what God has said as so. It is so. Whenever they connected the thread of scriptures that had been given to them from the time they were little all the way up to this moment in time in the garden, the Old Testament scriptures, going back to Psalm 16 and Psalm 22, both of them telling about the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, Psalm 16. They'd been taught these things. But it did not connect until the angel said, "Remember ye His words." They brought them back to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in their heart, they believed. They believed. They accepted the truth of what had taken place. When they go back to the disciples, the ones with whom they had spent so much time with the Lord Jesus, intimate conversations, Jesus bearing forth His heart about what's going to happen. We must go up to Jerusalem. We must go up to Jerusalem. Three times He said that. We must go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again the third day. It says here in this passage of Scripture, their words seemed to them as idle tales. The first group to disbelieve the truth of the resurrection was none other than the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that teach us, folks? I hope that you can grasp this. This is what stood out on the page in relationship to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He kept His word. But to them, His word was just as an idle tale. You ever sat with your children or your grandchildren? My kids used to tell them stories at bedtime. And I'd go in there and I'd make up some story or something like that we would do. And I would sing songs with them and so forth like that. And I'd come in the next night, "Dad, tell us another story." All right? They wanted to hear another story. Or maybe with the grandkids. They like to hear the stories of the past and what you did. I mean, it's almost like Daniel Boone, you know, and Davy Crockett, hearing stories from Grandma and Grandpa's past as they tell about what happened when they were little. And they didn't have cell phones back then. And kids are like, "What? That you're just telling a tale." No, we had to crank our phones and we had to hold it up to our ear and talk into a box. "Oh, you're kidding." You know, a lot of kids today, they don't realize what it was like in the past. All we know when we're kids is what's happening right now. You know, we've gone from dial telephones to touch. Boy, I can remember when those came and we bought our first push-button telephone. We had the rotary dial in our house. Well, we were cutting edge. A push-button telephone. And it had a 25-foot long cord on it. So now, when someone called, you could wrap around and go into a closet and close the door and talk. Cutting edge! What a joke today, right? Yeah. I remember the first LED watch. I think it was Eric O'Pager that had it. He had him an LED Texas Instruments watch. We were all like, red, you know? And then they came out with the LCD watches, liquid crystal. And I remember the digital numbers on there, and they don't have hands. But we sat around oohing and aahing at that. It didn't take much for us. You know what? When you look back, it just seems like a tale, does it not? when you look back at all the things that have happened over time. And that's fine when it comes to just things of life, but it's not fine when it comes to the Word of God. There are people that live in our churches all across America that look at this Bible as an idle tale. And it's not. And this book one day is going to be opened and you're going to be judged. I don't know about you, but that to me is a fearful thing. To have the books opened. Now, thankfully, I'm in Jesus Christ. And it's going to be on His merits that I will have to claim. It's on the merits of Jesus Christ that I'm here. But you know what? There's going to be a fire in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us about that. Do you know there's fire in heaven? There is going to be the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and all of us are going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to see everything that we've ever done in our life. And the fire of heaven is going to be breathed out on those things, and everything that was done in the flesh is going to be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to go up, and the ashes will go up, and the only thing that will be left behind are those things that were done for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Those things that were done by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Who is Him? It's Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Were these disciples exercising faith in the Word of God? No, they were not. Should they have been? Yes, they should have known. We go on to read of how they one by one came to understand and know. It would be later on when they're on the shore of Galilee when the Lord Jesus appears up to them and He's got a fire of coals there and He's roasting the fish. Okay? And they look and they see their Lord and there they believe. They see Him. Listen, folks, the Lord has given to us His Word. We have everything we need right here in His Word. Do we, like the disciples, treat it like idle tales? And then this second phrase, and they believed them not. They didn't believe the words of the women. It didn't process in their mind. Do you know what I believe the reason was that these disciples didn't process what was going on? They were just too busy just living life. They were being normal. It wasn't that they were doing something abnormal. They were just living life. They were getting up in the morning. They were putting on their robes and their sandals and they would go out and do what their task was for the day. And they did the things that they normally did. And when Jesus was saying His words, it was just part of the day. It wasn't something that you hung your life on. It was just something that was a part of the day. Now, do you understand where I'm coming from here? We're all guilty of just living life. But what He was giving them was the words of life. And they missed them. They missed them. These were good people, not bad people. They weren't ugly people. They were not unkind people. They were good men who were living life and missed the words of life. And it would not be until after His resurrection, after He appears to them and goes to Thomas and says, "Put your fingers in here, Thomas. Stick them in here. See my side? All right. Now do you believe?" And he believed. Missed the words. They missed the words because they were just living life. Living life. Let me tell you something. We all need to pull back and look in the mirror of our life and see, what are we doing? We're just living life? Or do the words of God revealed to us give us life to live. There's a big difference between the two. Just living life, you know. Let me look at my Bible verse for today. And off we go. That's not living the Christian life. That's the motions of doing something, but it's not living the Christian life. The Christian life is Jesus Christ living through you. He's living through you. And you just don't do stuff without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the life is. And these disciples had to come smack up against the wall of truth. They had to come up against the wall of truth. When they saw Jesus Christ, they saw His hands, they saw His pierced side, His feet, the crown of thorns that had been planted on His head and left all kinds of scars there. And when they saw Him, they believed. It all started to come around. Oh, yeah, I remember something about that. Spiritual dullness is the enemy of the Christian. And the greatest sin is unbelief. The greatest sin is not believing the Word of God. Not believing what the Word of God says about everything. How I live my life, how my marriage is to be conducted, how I'm supposed to raise my children, how I'm supposed to serve my Lord. Those are all things that He shared with us in this Word. That's why He left us this book, that we might know. But we say, oh, there's just such a big, bold, beautiful world out there to be explored. There's a big, bold, beautiful world out there that I can have a part in. And I'm going to have it. But you'll have it. And you'll lose. You'll lose what God wanted you to have. All that stuff will just fade away, crumble in your hands. And what will last is what was done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever gone to a birthday party and you packaged up a gift and you did it with love and you put it down there and then somebody else brought this unbelievable, massive gift, all right? And everybody's enamored with that. And there's your little gift that you brought, okay? Have you ever been embarrassed at a birthday party? Yeah. The child... opens up the things and they're all enamored with the box. They could care less about what you bought. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ has given the greatest gift of all, Himself. And why aren't we enamored with Him? Why are we enamored? We're just taken aback by the world and what the world has to offer. And Jesus Christ is a secondary thought. It's because we're just living life. We're doing what everybody else does. And when you do that, you miss what God wants for you. This testimony, I believe that the disciples wished, is there some way we could just erase verse 11 right out of the Bible? Those disciples are forever linked with verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. If you read on in the chapter on the road to Emmaus, you read about the two disciples. And there's just something different about this man. They don't know what it is. It was their Lord. And afterward, they remembered. Afterward. Listen, we need to sharpen our believing skills. Amen? We need to sharpen our believing skills. That means time spent in God's Word. That means time spent in applying God's Word. That takes work to apply God's Word. Oh, it's so much easier to follow after the world. Oh, it's much, much easier to do that. But to apply God's Word and to allow it to ring in our hearts and we believe it. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm going to finish with Romans 10, 9 and 10 again. I want you to listen to these words. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who? The Lord Jesus. Post-resurrection title. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, the one who died, the one who was buried, the one who rose again for me. If I will confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that word saved is much bigger than just salvation of our soul. It's the salvation of everything about us. It's all eternity wrapped up in the truth of salvation. Everything is taken care of forever because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that in Jesus Christ everything is taken care of forever? It's a hard thing for some people. It's a hard thing. I've got to take care of this. I've got to take care of this. I've got to take care of this. No, you don't. What you must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Him and in Him alone, everything will be taken care of for all eternity. And yet, those who were closest to Him, those who had lived and ate with and slept by and worked with the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones who were the most intimately involved with Him, did not believe. It would come later. That's the danger that we face today. That's the danger. To be so intimately close and to be involved in a Christian ministry and in a Christian church and all these kind of things, we start living life apart from the blessed testimony of Jesus Christ. And we become practicing unbelievers because we live as though Jesus Christ were dead. And He's not. He's present with us, ever present, through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And He's making intercession for you right now. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this passage of Scripture. Lord, our hearts break within us as we consider the disciples. But Lord, we will not point a finger at them because we are guilty ourselves of just living life as they were doing. They had been with the Lord every time He had mentioned the trip to Jerusalem and the awful, terrible treatment that He would receive, the crucifixion, and then the rising from the dead the third day. They were there with Him. They heard every word He said. They were present at His crucifixion, and yet, in all of this, it was as if it was an idle tale, and they believed not. Lord, if the disciples who were so close to Thee could not believe rightly, how about us, possessors of copies, multiple copies of the Word of God, attending church, doing all the things we're supposed to do, and yet, Lord, living life, just living life, but living life in unbelief, because Your Word doesn't live in our hearts. Your Word is not what we base our decisions upon. Your Word is not what we live by every day. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and that You would teach us from this lesson, from Your death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, what wonderful power is found in Thee. For as Your Word says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him, that is Jesus Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's the Christian life. I pray that we might truly live it, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close this morning with number 144. Number 144, Look Ye Saints, The sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now from the fight returned victorious. What's the next phrase? Every knee to him shall bow. I pray that the Lord will help us to bow the knee now and submit to him in our Christian lives as we've heard this morning and truly honor and see our Lord in that glorious sight. Let's stand together and sing that first verse, number 144. Father, we thank you this morning for our resurrected Lord, for our Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would not view these as idle tales as we've seen and read this morning, but that, Father, we would see the impact of our resurrected Lord in our Christian life this very day. I ask, Father, that we would serve you, we would walk with you, we would not be casual about our walk with you, but that we'd be dedicated fervently to pouring our lives. Lord, we owe you everything for what you have done. We thank you this morning that through the resurrection of Christ, we are justified before the Father, and that we're guaranteed, Lord, that you've accepted his work. And we ask that you would now go with us, help us to walk in the power of Christ, and rejoice in our resurrected Lord this day. In Christ's name, amen.